Next, we'll hear from Policy Coordination and Liaison Committee, Justice Mark Baxter.
Thank you, Chief. The Policy Committee met twice since the report I gave at the June Judicial Council meeting. And at those meetings, the committee took positions on behalf of the council on three bills, AB 604 and Senate Bill 569 relating to jury instructions, and also revisited Senate Bill 513 dealing with the sealing of arrest records upon completion of a qualifying pretrial diversion program. Additionally, the committee authorized the submission of comments to the California Law Revision Commission seeking modifications of a tentative recommendation to adopt a California version of the Uniform Adult Guardianship and Protective Proceedings Jurisdiction Act that would apply to most California conservatorships. A number of our council-sponsored bills continue to move through the legislature, with one currently on the governor's desk, that being Senate Bill 378, which contains one of the six efficiency proposals relating to an official record of conviction. The last day for each House to pass bills is September 13th, and the governor will have until October 13th to sign or veto bills. I anticipate that the policy committee will meet a few times between now and then to address last-minute bills and amendments. Finally, I want to thank the members of the policy committee and the OGA staff for the excellent service provided this past year. And I also want to express special thanks to Judge Herman, who has been invaluable as the vice chair of the policy committee. And in conclusion, I look forward to assisting Judge So as he transitions into chairing the policy committee. That completes my report, Chief.
Thank you, Justice Baxter. David Yamasaki.
Thank you, Chief. My apologies. I wanted to just circle back very quickly to the ADOC report on a couple of recruitments in particular that I think are extremely important. One is a project manager classification, and I will say that many of us obviously understand the poor condition of many of the facilities that we have. We have been in Santa Clara waiting for some refurbishments of our elevators, and while it may seem simple, a refurbishment of an elevator sometimes takes 3 months. And one of the reasons for the delay is not having the personnel to oversee the project, and certainly having a project manager on board will certainly expedite that process and bring attention to the desperately needed repairs that are needed on these projects. The other thing is related to the inspectors. These may seem, difficult positions to fill at this time. However, these positions don't actually bring necessarily increased cost to a project, but rather ensures that the costs don't exceed what the budgets are. And it may be the appropriateness of it, in other words, certainly will return huge monetary value to the projects to ensure that things don't overrun or we have to actually turn back and make some repairs that were missed by an inspector. So big positions to fill, but of great importance to the branch given the projects that we have. Thank you.
Thank you, David. I appreciate that that helpful explanation about what it means to the trial courts to have these project managers and inspectors. Next, we'll hear from Justice Miller on the phone for Executive and Planning Committee. Justice Miller.
Thank you, Chief. And first, I want to apologize for not being with all of you today. I'm afraid that over the weekend I injured my back and my doctor felt it was best that I not travel. I have to tell you that when the chief first appointed me to the council, she warned that this could be back-breaking work. But I just thought she was figuratively. My report will be somewhat brief, and a more complete report will be posted later on our website. Our committee has met a number of times over the last few weeks. The committee set the agenda for yesterday's meeting and the meeting for today. ENP also responded to court requests from the Superior Courts of Orange and Los Angeles County to convert a total of 9 subordinate judicial officer positions to judgeships. ENP approved 1 vacant subordinate judicial officer position for conversion in the Superior Court of Orange. ENP also gave provisional approval for the 2nd conversion requested by the court, pending further authorization by the Judicial Council to reallocate 1 more conversion to the court. ENP also approved 7 vacant subordinate judicial officer positions for conversion in the Superior Court of Los Angeles. I also wish that I had been there yesterday to acknowledge the judicial branch's educational efforts over the last 40 years and personally want to congratulate Diane Cowdery and Seeger and her excellent staff on all that they do in providing the best educational services to the court and to the judges. I've had the opportunity many times to participate in those programs, both as an instructor, but mostly as someone there to learn like all the rest of us, and I have never, ever been disappointed. I had the opportunity also to attend a few days of Judicial College. Several council members also went along, Justice Hall, Judge Jackson, Judge O'Malley, and again, we had the opportunity firsthand to see the excellent services they provide. I was so impressed with the quality of the teaching and the hard work of the AOC staff who support the college and the judges. The Chief Justice reported also on her visit, but what she didn't tell you was the enthusiastic response that she received from the college and from those attending when she spoke about the history of the branch and the initiatives that she has taken on in these last 3 years. This is also the time of the year where ENP fulfills another one of its important roles, and that is assisting the Chief Justice in the review and selection of advisory committee members. We review probably over 100, maybe even 200 different nominations. When we review these nominations, we look at geographical diversity, professional and personal experiences, leadership qualities, ethics, and the ability to bring a statewide perspective to judicial administration. We conducted a half-day meeting with regards to that, made recommendations to all of our different advisory committees and task forces, and the chief will be receiving those to make those appointments. And then just lastly, again, I wish that I had been there personally to thank and congratulate those outgoing judicial council members, Judge Bob Moss, Edith Mathai, Judge Alan Hardcastle, Judge Lori Earle, Alan Carlson, and Judge Ira, I just have one more question, Kaufman. I have to say I developed such a great personal relationship with each of them, such a great dedication that I've had the opportunity to observe the great dedication that each of them have provided to the council and to the judicial branch and truly to the people of the state of California. And I wish, again, I was there personally to thank you for all the hard work and dedication that you've done over the last 3 years. And I'm just glad you escaped without it being backbreaking also. So that's my report, Chief.
Thank you, Justice Miller. We'll hear next from Justice Harry Hull for Rules and Projects Committee.
Yes, thank you, Chief. Good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. That's better. I can be heard. Rules and Projects Committee has met twice, both times by telephone since our June 28th council meeting. Among other things, RUPRO considered and recommended and recommends the approval of Item A on the consent agenda today, which relates to revisions of the CalCrim instructions, the criminal jury instructions. In a joint meeting with ENP and the Technology Committee, RUPRO approved circulation for comment of a proposal that would establish by rule of court 2 new Judicial Council Advisory Committees, the Tribal Court State Court Forum, and the Court Security Advisory Committee. The proposal would also repeal the rules concerning three advisory groups that no longer exist. The proposal implements recommendations in the report and recommendations to improve the governance, structure, and organization of the Judicial Council Advisory Group submitted by RUPRO, ENP, and the Technology Committee and approved by the Council at our April meeting. Following circulation for comment and further consideration by the three internal committees I mentioned, this proposal is expected to come before the Council at the October 2013 business meeting. We also expect that a separate invitation for comment for advisory groups that need new or amended rules based on the recommendations in the report will circulate for comment beginning in October 2013. I would only like to add, Chief, that as has been mentioned, you and others had the opportunity to address the Judicial College recently. I was one of those fortunate enough to have done so, and I had a few minutes with three of the seminar groups and very much enjoyed explaining in basic terms the council and membership on the council, and found that I received an enthusiastic reception as you did, and Justice Miller and the others. So thank you for that opportunity.
Thank you, Justice Hall. Next, we'll hear from Judge Herman for the Technology Committee.
Thank you, Chief. The Technology Committee has been pretty engaged and busy since our last meeting in June. We've had three teleconference meetings and an in-person meeting on July 1st, July 29th, August 6th, and August 22nd, respectively. During the course of the meetings, we addressed Fresno's request to replace its V2 case management system, which is item H on the agenda, which we will address later in this meeting. And our recommendation is to grant that request, and that recommendation is joined by the Trial Court's Budget Advisory Committee. We also had periodic updates from the Technology Planning Task Force, which is fulfilling the Council's direction with the oversight of the Technology Committee to develop a vision and roadmap, governance, strategic planning, and funding tracks for the improvement of technology for better access by the people of the state of California, as well as more efficient and cost-effective business practices to assist the courts and again, to serve the people of the state. We received updates from the in terms of how the annual plan was proceeding for the Court Technology Advisory Committee. We then reviewed and approved the addition of two additional courts, Yuba and Del Norte, for the California Courts Protective Order Registry. We received an update on a request for V3 case management system level of effort for bypass clerk review for case initiation. Well, that's a mouthful, and we'll be back to the council with further information on that effort. We also received an update on the Enterprise Resource Planning System Survey, which was part of a directive from the council, Directive 133, and the idea of this survey is to audit software and to determine efficient and cost-effective recommendations, and we received those recommendations. We also had a session yesterday at our in-person meeting on legislative outreach to communicate the importance of information technology relative to access to justice, the third D, if you will, of the Chief's three Ds that we've been discussing. We also attended the joint ENP Technology Committee and RUPRO a meeting in terms of advisory committees. We Judge Moss participated in the meeting of the Budget Advisory Committee regarding Fresno's request, which again we'll deal with later today. And then on August 20th, earlier this week, myself and Judge Elias, Mr. Fox, Mark Disman, and ITSO staff attended an executive briefing at Cisco down in the Silicon Valley, and this, again, directly related to the idea of remote access. So we got a full briefing on remote access and also a full briefing on cloud technology. So that was a very, very interesting and worthwhile endeavor, and we really appreciate Cisco's willingness to spend the day with us on those two important technology issues. In closing, I really have to express my appreciation closing this council year for the ITSO staff, which have just been tremendous in terms of supporting our committee work, as well as tremendous support for the courts of review and the trial courts. Mark Dustman, Renee Stewart, Jessica Craven, who's just wonderful in keeping us on track, and Virginia Sanders Hines. And I also, with some degree of melancholy, want to thank the departing members of our committee who have put in so much work over the last couple of years, and what's been a rapid a change in our direction relative to technology. Justice Heshman Gerst has been a tremendous vice chair of the committee, who will remain on the committee, and I'm very thankful and grateful for that. Judge Ira Kaufman, who we will greatly miss, Mr. Fox, Edith Mathai, and Mr. Carlson. So I really want to thank all of you for all of your help with this committee. We've done a lot of work. We've made a change.
Bob.
And who? Well, we've got work for you. Believe me, Judge Moss, that's perhaps why in a Freudian slip overlooked your name, because Bob, as everybody knows, has been just an incredible resource as far as technology and both in his trial court, both in the CCMS effort, going around the state donating his time to teach judges about the technology. So, Bob, you will be missed, and Ira, you will be missed. So, thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Judge Herman. Before we hear from the Judicial Council members' liaison reports, I just want to call your attention to a person we rarely see because he's always behind the camera. That's Dexter Craig, behind the camera today. He's the hand, not the hand. He's the artist behind the sketchings that we saw in yesterday's film on the 40th anniversary of Seizure. And I just think that we don't often see Dexter because he's hiding behind the lens. So thank you. That was very entertaining.
And he draws so fast. It's amazing.